Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 17th of May, recording at 9:22 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were hit really hard, some big sales, on the order of over 2%, and as much as 5% for the China A-share index. European stock market indices were really quite weak, but that's wrong. European stock market indices opened weak, then rallied to moderate gains, then weakened again. So a lot of volatility in here today, and then closed mixed on the day with very small, either very small gains or very small losses. And in the Americas, Wall Street at one stage had sold off quite sharply. I think the Dow was down over 160 points at one stage, but it closed up just over 5 points. And so negligible percentage gains, but closing not far from the highs of the day and recovering what had been quite sharp losses on Wall Street earlier on in the day. Elsewhere, the long-dated government bond prices, they didn't do much here today. The European contracts were a little bit firmer. I think the Japanese contract was a little bit firmer. And the U.S. Gave up some gains on the recovery in the stock market, but these were small moves and I need to emphasize that point. In currencies, we had some real volatility. The dollar was very strong, except against the yen, which it was down mildly against, but it's currently trading unchanged against the yen. And the dollar's gains against other currencies, mainly the resources currencies, were pegged right back. But they're still down. This is the resources currencies are still down on the day. And one of the reasons for that is we had some hefty sell-offs in copper, currently at back below the $3 level, down to 295 or 290. It's down at 296 right now. Nickel was hit hard, down to 20,700, and platinum took a beating. Currently 1669. That's down 46. Palladium also off quite sharply, down to 506. Gold seesawed in here today. Not big moves, but it is currently on the lower side of that range, down 11 at 1222. Agricultural commodities, I hadn't really noticed them much during the day, but I see they were weaker. Most of the commodity markets were weaker, and that included crude oil, which dipped down at one stage to 69.27. and it's currently at 70.48. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, there's plenty of volatility, as you will have noticed, and the confirmation of that, in case anyone had just arrived back on the scene, is in that VIX index, which was back up over 30 for at least part of today. And that's that reached I think 40 on the day of that over 40 on the day of that sudden meltdown that we saw on Wall Street. So there's a lot of volatility taking place. For the most part, this has been in the form of a flight to so-called quality or safety in highly liquid markets. And that means U.S. Treasuries, although pretty well all long-dated government bonds have performed in here recently. And it has also meant a retreat into the dollar. I find it hard to believe that people are actually retreating into the yen, but I can envisage that a lot of yen carry trades were closed out. So That's the overall environment, and how does it leave the technical picture? Well, confused, I don't mind saying. And I was planning to do a lengthy chart review here today, covering a variety of markets. And I started to do it, but then thought, no, there's a little bit too much uncertainty here. And to be absolutely candid with you, I'm not sure whether we are. Well, I know we're oversold in the short term, but I don't know whether or not we've seen something that's climactic in here for at least the short term, and likely to be followed by recoveries where we've seen the sharp sell-offs, or whether we are seeing something that is going to involve further weakness in the stock market and commodity sector, quite possibly lasting for a few months. Now, it would be very easy to conclude that it was the latter, because a fair amount of technical damage has occurred, and none of us want to rationalize any of that. But I'm also aware, as we all are, I think that markets have had some big frights recently that weren't universally anticipated. For instance, the Southern European meltdown. Well, we knew there were problems there, but I think even the bears were shocked by the extent to which yields actually soared. And I said during the time, well, that was going on. No doubt, part of that was fun and games on the part of hedge funds, which really felt that they had the game entirely in their hands, because we had a crisis for which the politicians and the central banks were in crisis mode, in a very reactive mode, which is normal. We get very few anticipatory decisions, or when they do occur, if I'm being a little bit harsh on politicians and central bankers, well, it's possible. But if that's the case, then we don't really recall the problems that are smoothed out without wild gyrations in markets. But then, of course, we had the dramatic package to buy up a great deal of this debt, or to accept a great deal of this debt in the ECB. And people have been fretting about the inflationary long-term implications for that. We've seen a flight out of the euro. We've seen a flight out of sterling over the political uncertainty that was generated on both sides of the election. So there have been lots of things to worry people. And then I think that presumably a high-frequency trading accident that caused a sudden meltdown in the stock market about a week and a half ago, I think that did really unnerve a lot of people. So suffice it to say that anxiety levels have been very, very high. Now, not without some justification, of course, but often that's a sign of climactic activity. But is it climactic just in the very short term, or, as I said a little earlier on in this broadcast, are we at some sort of medium term? Have we made some sort of medium term turn downwards in the markets? And I'm not sure on that one, and I want to look at the data a little bit further in here. Okay, what else to mention now? Precious metals. In terms of this action, I'm not impressed by what I've seen today. Now, a couple of the lead metals have fallen back quite sharply. They haven't broken down completely, but they got up and looked at their highs and balked, fell back. That's palladium and platinum. And palladium had been in the post position for most of the upward move, since September, this big September 2009 breakout to the upside in gold. So what I'm saying is that the leaders are faltering in here. And in terms of gold, well, I've seldom seen such an overall bullish consensus, but a lot of contrary indicators are flashing, and they're from stories such as the amusing one of the ATM, the gold ATM in Dubai, to the there's an article today in the actually it was in over the weekend in the Financial Times. I'll be posting it after this broadcast. We're talking about German investors piling into Krugerrands. Again, we had the consensus, the bullish consensus. I think I mentioned that already. And gold being about the only thing that really was performing in here. So, in terms of the various asset classes, so that to me smacks of an overbought condition. But I still think that gold could be on course for one more. I think the best case, I'll put it this way. The best case scenario that I can see in the short term, and that's over the next few weeks, is another spike to the upside for gold, where it does get up to that often mentioned sort of $1,300 to $1,400 range that I had talked about. Now, there's nothing on the charts to suggest that that won't happen, but I am concerned about this bullish consensus overall, and I'm concerned about gold, which has been a sort of a page 16 item in the press, moving to page one on a few too many newspapers, and not just the financial newspapers. So again, I think one wants to be a little bit cautious about that. And indeed, I would love to see gold get a little bit more of a push to the upside in the short term, because I would lighten some of my gold share holdings. Okay, what else to mention here? Crude oil. This has done a fair amount of technical damage. The pattern's very similar to many stock markets, actually. Stock markets that had moderately good performances from their reaction lows back in late 2008 and 2009, early 2009. But this is a bigger setback than we have seen probably throughout the entire move. I haven't got that chart right under my nose at the moment, but taking it back down to $70, where we've seen some lows previously, but that came following a new recovery high. So to put that into perspective, gold experienced an upside, I beg your pardon, oil, crude oil experienced an upside failure and has fallen back down to some prior support at the $70 level. That doesn't look brilliant on the charts, although you can argue that it's, and I will say that it's short-term oversold following such a sharp drop. But that is in line with my often mentioned view that gold is not one of the best performing commodities in here. And I think the fundamental reason, did I say gold again? I'm so sorry, I meant crude oil. That crude oil is not one of the best performing commodities in this cycle. And the fundamental reason for that, that I've often mentioned, is that all these subsidized alternative sources of fuel are sources of energy are gradually eroding some of that demand for crude oil at a time when the uses of crude oil are also and the importers of crude oil are also hell-bent on increasing productivity, and they continue to do just that. Now, there's good news and bad news in that, and more good than bad. I think one of them points is that the prospect of a major spike in crude oil is not off the table, but it's slowly being reduced by all the alternative sources of energy that are eroding oil's market. So that means that something would really have to go quite wrong with oil production to cause a major spike. And it's interesting that this blow up the BP rig in the Gulf of Mexico has not caused gold to has not helped gold to maintain its upper levels. We've seen just the opposite, quite a retracement by oil recently. So that is, I think, quite interesting. I said it was more bullish than bearish. It's not particularly bullish for the energy sector, but it's bullish for the global economy in terms of oil import costs. Now, we have to moderate that statement somewhat by the fact that oil is priced in US dollars and the dollar has been fairly strong, although far less strong for the Asian countries, for instance, and barely moved for the Asian countries. But in Euroland and in the UK, there where the currencies have been so weak, oil costs are still a problem, but as I say, less so elsewhere. Well, it's a fairly confusing picture overall, I feel. I said that in the beginning of this broadcast, and I make no apology for that. There are times, as I think all investors know, where things really look quite clear, and we get consistently trending action for quite some time, either up or down, or both, depending on which market category you're looking at. And then there are times that are very choppy and full of whipsaws, and those are times when discretion is the better part of valor here. And I'm in keeping it relatively low profile in my trading account. I've had a reasonable number of trades, but there's nothing big. I don't have any big positions in there, and I'm feeling really quite cautious here as well. I haven't sold anything out of my long-term investment portfolio, although I've already mentioned to you that I'd like to lighten on gold shares. You might think, well, that's madness. Why lighten on gold shares when the outlook for bullion is so bullish? Well, because I've already said that I think the best case scenario for gold is we get another short-term spike to the upside, and then we complete the medium-term run for a while and get a longer pullback and consolidation, albeit very much within the secular bull market. But I think with gold shares, you have to, or it's best to lighten them when lighten positions when they're being chased higher by investors, and buy them back when they're out of favor, because it is a very volatile sector. So I have that in mind. I also mentioned, I think in my Friday audio, that I have some cash that I'm quite keen to deploy before too long, but I'm not rushing in just yet. Still considering my options, as they say. And I think I've gone on long enough on this broadcast, so all the very best to all of you.